Now, as we do every hour, we change direction a little bit, and being the fourth Wednesday of the month, we've got our local politician, Cindy McLeish, in to talk about what's going on in the community. So, first of all, welcome, Cindy.
Thank you, Alan. What a beautiful day it is in the Yarra Valley.
Bit misty, but anyway, we'll move on past that.
Bit misty, bit wet.
Yeah. Cindy, we've just been talking to Heidi down at Anchor, and she's been talking about the National Reconciliation Week. I keep getting stuck on that. And she, as she was leaving, she told us about something that was on in Hillsville tomorrow. Can you tell us a bit about it, please?
Yeah. Look, the Yarra Rangers Council have had a long-standing involvement with National Reconciliation Week and have an activity. So they've got something at the Memo Hall in Hillsville tomorrow between 10 and 1. They have various speakers and panellists and, you know, different music and entertainment. 10 to 1, 3 hours, it's quite lengthy.
Because normally those things go about an hour, don't they?
Well, not the Yarra Rangers. They get quite into it. That's okay. Yeah. And the Hillsville Memo is a really great central venue for an area that's really kind of close to, you know, the heart here.
Yep.
It's this area has so much Indigenous history.
And I believe there's still quite a lot of Indigenous people still in the area.
Yeah. And I think it's important to remember that the Indigenous people in the area aren't all Wurundjeri, because what happened was those Aboriginals in neighbouring areas were actually brought down to Corranderk. So, you know, it...
So
Tungurung or maybe even Yorta Yorta or different ones, they were brought down to Corranderk, and then that became their home for a while, and for many they've stayed in the Yarra Valley. So it's not just Wurundjeri when we think about who lives here, even though this land was that of the Wurundjeri.
When you say they were they brought down forcibly or they came down by themselves?
No, it wasn't a very good experience for any of them.
Not good at all.
No, it wasn't. And being, you know, displaced particularly. And, you know, you've come over the spur.
Yep.
And it's interesting, Uncle Roy Patterson, or the late Uncle Roy Patterson, who was Tunnurung, was speaking at one of the Hillsville history events one time, and there was a painting, a painting or a photo, and it had Black Spur, not Blacks Spur. And he said, no, that's what it used to be. It was the path that the Aboriginals took crossing the mountain. And that was, you know, it was the Black Spur. It was the Blacks Spur, yeah, and so now it's the Black Spur. That's the history of it. And Uncle Roy was pretty keen for people to understand that and know that, because, you know, people did, the Aboriginals did travel around, and they travelled, you know,
on
foot and, you know, through the hills and mountains, and that path was, you know, the regular beaten path, I guess.
One thing that Heidi staggered me with, I would have thought I was a reasonably educated man, but in 1965, and I was born a bit before 1965, but if there was an Indigenous family lived beside us, that I automatically became an Australian citizen, but they weren't classified as Australian citizen at all.
It took a long time for them to get the vote.
1967.
To be recognised to get the vote. And it's staggering because, you know, for many of them, and I will talk about war history, for many of them, you know, they were involved in the wars.
Yeah.
You know, fighting side by side, doing exactly what every white person was doing. Yeah. And they didn't get the recognition for their war service at all. It was just staggering that, you know, even from the 60s when Aboriginals were given the vote.
Yep.
It was a bloody long time before, you know, things progressed in all areas. And I think for a time it was just put on the back burner. People weren't deliberately avoiding it. Yeah, it was too hard. And then people kind of weren't even thinking. I think people weren't thinking about it until, you know, more recent times.
Yeah, I was just staggered that I automatically became an Australian citizen, as you would have, but that if a young child was born beside me, that they would just weren't classified as an Australian citizen.
And, yet and I think that was an overwhelming, you know, the referendum to change that was overwhelming.
Oh, I wouldn't be at all surprised.
No, it just wasn't fair and it didn't seem fair and everyone thought that was the case.
Yeah, and nobody had probably thought anything about it. It's one of those things, it's not fair, but we know anything about it.
Yeah, you forget about it. Yeah, well, and sometimes you forget about them. People aren't thinking about different stuff, you know. Like it happens, you know, in so many different areas. But, yeah, it was very unfair and needed to be changed. And, you know, you need change makers to make that happen.
Yeah, and the will to do it.
And the will to do it, that's right.
You know, it's Cindy, I just want to ask you something else too. I noticed in the paper today, the local paper, the Mail, that there was some CFA recognitions. Does this happen often, or is it just once a year, or what happens?
Oh, the brigades.
Yeah.
There's a lot of brigades. I've got 50-odd brigades in my...
How many?
50. 49, actually, in 6 SES units. And some brigades look at doing awards nights annually. Others do it every few years, every now and again when they think, gosh, we've got some life memberships to give out. We've got some certificates recognising the length of service that people have done.
Yeah, because some of them have been in a long while.
Oh, yes, yes.
40, 50 years.
Absolutely. I was at Molesworth on... gosh, Friday last week. Yep. And, yeah, there's people that have been there for 60 years.
60 years?
Yeah. Yeah, now they're not active anymore. But, you know, if you've got somebody who is 80 and joined when they were 15, 16, particularly, you know, being on the farm, and they might have gone from being active, being on the back of the truck, to doing, you know, the sort of the office-based work, which you need to do, the comms and things like that.
Yep.
And then... then they might take just remain as a member but not active.
Because a lot of them were farmers in the early stages, weren't they, to protect, you know.
That's how it started, People chopped off bits of their farm to local farmers got together to protect each other's land, and then they'd, someone would have an old truck or whatever and they'd put it, and then they after the 29 fires, they had, when the CFA became... people chopped off little bit of their farms, and that's why they're often in a funny little corner. Somebody just excised a little bit of land and they plonked the CFA shed on there so that they had the collective gear.
All right, I'm going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more. Now, Cindy, I jumped subjects a bit quickly there because I particularly wanted to find out about the CFA because, you know, I love the CFA. I think those men and women are just fantastic and they do so much. And at the moment, they're actually running an emergency services blood donations, and a lot of the CFA members are donating blood as well. We're actually got a CSA that we read about it. So,
oh, well, there you go.
I think they do a terrific job. But anyway, let's go back to
well, they had
we
a
start.
Wear Orange Wednesday for the SES, I think Wednesday before last.
Did it?
Yeah. Sound I think, well, unless it was last Wednesday. It might have been last Wednesday. The days and weeks just sort of they become one for me.
Anyway, let's go back to where we started.
Well, one of the things that I wanted to talk about, which was really great in community, was about the Warrawa Aboriginal College. They had their Reconciliation Sports Carnival. And I think it's been going 10 years.
Yep.
Yeah. And so this is one big event. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
There was even a traffic jam in Barrack Lane heading up to the college yesterday as I was headed, because there's so many schools and buses that come along and kids
come
attend.
Along. So it's not just the college itself that runs it. They have other schools.
Well, the college
well.
Runs it.
Yeah,
big effort.
Yep.
Very big effort to Joelle and to Joelle was on, you know, boots on the ground sort of thing. And they had a lot of volunteers, and Tanya Peeler and Elder in Residence, Lowell Peeler. Were just, you know, it's an amazing, amazing day.
Yep.
They had, I'm pretty sure I heard it was 22 schools come to compete in this sports carnival day.
Terrific, yeah.
And they don't come from, you know, close by. Well, some do actually.
That's
yeah. Mount Lilydale were there, Upper Yarra were there, Edinburgh yep. College were there. But, you know, Thornbury came, Beacon Hills, which is over towards Pakenham Way.
Yeah, yeah.
Furbank is in Brighton.
Yeah.
MLC were there. I'm sure I saw a PLC bus as well. Mex is just up the road. They yep. were there. You know, Ivanhoe. The kids Gee. Came from a long,
really well supported.
A long way away. And as I yep. said, you know, oh, Lilydale High School, Upper Yarra and Mount Lilydale were the local schools.
Right.
Edinburgh College is not so far away either. Star of the Sea in Gardenvale, like some of these kids travelled quite a way.
Yeah.
And they had a pretty hectic schedule. You know, they had 3x3 basketball. I watched a bit of that.
Yep.
They had beach volleyball. And for the listeners, I could show Alan a photo of the in the program of beach volleyball from a previous year.
Yep.
They had football.
How do they do beach volleyball?
Well, they got all this sand there on the courts. They just imported all of sand, and it looks like your regular beach volleyball thing.
Gee, they go to a big effort.
They do go to a big effort. I don't know, you know, if it's permanently set up as that, because there's a lot. It was quite a lot of area and a lot of schools, as I said.
Yep.
You know, they had AFL. They had netball. As I left, the cross country kids were coming in. They had been running, doing cross country.
When you say AFL, Cindy, like were they not like they weren't AFL players? The
no,
actual
no, it was
kids
a good
were playing
kids. They were all playing play footy. Yeah,
terrific.
Yeah, they were just playing footy and netball. So they had a whole lot of 100 metre sprints and baton relays and things like that. So it was full on. Full on.
That's terrific. Yeah.
And, you know, as I said, there was almost a traffic jam getting there. There were buses bringing, you know, kids from all over the place. There were marquees everywhere. And it started, you know, with a big welcome and then the smoking ceremony, and all the kids traipsed through past the way they had it set up. It was pretty good, you know, in one way and out the other.
Rather.
So it was and it kept the lines quite separate, which was terrific, actually. And it was so good to see so many other schools coming to support Warrawa in this way, in
and
a fun way.
And they weren't necessarily Indigenous children coming, were they? Like, they were just all sorts of...
Yeah, anyone was, you know, kids were coming, mostly girls, because, you know, Warrawa's a girls' boarding school.
Yep.
But it's important to remember at Warrawa, a lot of the kids, most of the kids aren't local at all. They come a lot from Northern Territory of Queensland, WA.
Yep. Far away.
Oh, yeah. One kid I was talking to was from Dubbo, and the girl who designed the T-shirt for this year, which all the volunteers wore a particular earthy green T-shirt, was one of the students, and it had a couple of whales on it, or sharks maybe. It was sharks. And she's from Northern Territory. So, you know, apparently she likes sharks.
She likes
sharks. She's very interested in sharks. So she had, you know, and had little footprints and different animals, a couple of snakes, but the sharks on it as well. And that was her little bit of Northern Territory. So, you know, kids come from all over Australia.
Yep.
And, you know, these, some of the kids are pretty shy and quiet because they've come from small communities. And Warrawa does an amazing
and
job.
And a long, long way from home.
A long way from home, yep. Boarding. Yep. But where they are is very safe. And yep. Warrawa is so you know, sure to make sure that they are safe and in their surroundings are safe. And, you know, they venture out at times. They come out and support Anzac Day and different things. Mm. And, yeah, so having all of these hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of students that were there yesterday.
That would have been a terrific day.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I was just there for a couple of hours in the morning.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was an important event, which is on the National Reconciliation Week calendar down here in Healesville.
And there's more to come, is there? Or,
there's always week? More. There's always more.
Or was something to come up during the week?
Well, on Sunday,
yep.
They have the Aboriginal War Memorial Service at the Shrine.
Oh, yeah.
And they have that every year, and I think that's coming up for 20 years as well. I'm pretty sure 2006 when they first did it at Healesville with Auntie Dot Peters and as Sam from who used to be at Sanctuary House and he was president of the RSL at the moment, and he always jokes how an Aboriginal and an Egyptian got together. And
but that's Australia.
Yes, Sam Hallam. People would know Sam.
Yep.
And that's right, that's Australia, and it's progressed, it's moved to the Shrine. It's been the Shrine for quite a number of years now, but it does get a bit bigger every year, I'd say. So it's something that I go to every year. Aaron Violi, Tony Smith used to go to it because, you know, it's all very much part of the local community.
Yep.
And Sam and Auntie Dot got this started, and the late Auntie Dot and her son Andrew Peters, who grew up here, people know Andrew.
Yep.
Have taken it on now and keep it moving.
Terrific.
And it's also in, you know, Reconciliation Week.
Yeah. I've got to take a quick break and we're going to be back with more.
Twisting by the moon, I'm a twisting fool.
I'm talking to Cindy McLeish, and she's been telling us about some of the things that are going on locally, and she's got something to come up next week, I believe.
Oh, in Parliament?
Yeah.
Well, next week, just final one on the National Reconciliation Week.
Yep.
The girls from Warrawa are coming into Parliament next week for, we have an event at Wednesday lunchtime, and I believe that they're going to have their art and do some dancing.
Oh, that'd be terrific.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen a bit of that.
Do you know how many are coming? Like, is it?
No, I don't yet.
Yep.
But I'd seen it on the parliamentary schedule, and Auntie Lois said to me yesterday, you know the girls are coming into Parliament? I'm here. Yes, yes, I've got it in my calendar. I'll be there. Don't worry, I'll be there. Keeping me on my toes.
I shouldn't be so facetious, but they might teach some of the parliamentarians how to behave.
Yeah, perhaps. Perhaps.
Now, the Warburton Quilters and Stitchers have had something on.
I want to give them a bit of a shout-out.
Yep.
So every year there's biggest afternoon teas, biggest morning teas for council to raise funds. And we had the Quilters and Stitchers, so they had their afternoon tea on Friday last week at the Yarra Junction Fire Station. Now, I've been to the Yarra Junction Fire Station before, but not for a big afternoon tea.
Yeah, yeah.
And Kayleen, the president, and you know, her crew, bring a whole lot of people together to come.
Don't
know. Oh, gosh, there was so much food. Kayleen, if you're listening, amazing job with the amount of food and the crowd. You know, and they've got their... Yeah. The prizes and there's quilts that they've made that are around the walls. But I guess, you know, I talked to a lot of the people there, and many of them have been coming for ages. Yeah. They're not all stitchers or quilters.
Just come to support the Cancer Council.
Yeah, and they might know somebody who's had cancer, or they might know somebody who's a quilter. You know, there was one lady there who she had... Did she have her sister and her daughter and her granddaughter all there? And, you know, they come along to support. She was one of the quilters. But there were three women who used to work together at the Yarra Ranger Shire Council, and they started, one was at Sherbrooke and one was at Healesville, I think. And, you know, and then they all got to work together, and they've been coming as a group. So it's just one of the things on their agenda.
On their agenda. I'm actually doing an interview between 2 and 3 with an organisation called Cancer Chicks. And that's for young girls, I think, from about 18 to about 28.
Well, as we know, cancer can hit anybody.
It's getting younger and younger. Yeah. And I'll be talking to Emily from there in the next hour. So.
Well, that's terrific. And that's something that, you know, I think we should be talking about as well, to make these organisations known. And, you know, and something like the Quilters and Stitchers, and yes, you might need to have a bit of talent, a bit of crafty, but it's an opportunity for women mostly in that area who sit around, make something, do something, and have a chat.
Have a
cup of tea and a laugh and a chat. And it might, you know, take 2 hours, 3 hours. But, you know, that's their Wednesday morning or whatever day that they all come together.
And you and I have spoken about this before. We all need to be connected with the community. Sitting at home by yourself isn't really a good thing for our health.
So if you're in the Upper Yarra and you like a bit of quilting or stitching, you know, look these guys up. They're a very happy, friendly bunch. And often these groups have, you know, a bit of a purpose too. They'll think, well, it's not just get together and have a good time, which is, you know, intensely important. Yep. But what are we going to do? We're going to make quilts, and, you know, there's only so many quilts that you can have at home and as you can give your friends.
So eventually some of them no doubt get donated to organisations.
They do. And different groups donate them to different organisations. Sometimes it's to children's services. Sometimes it's to some of the hospitals or Ronald McDonald House or whatever, you know.
Terrific.
And it's terrific because they look great. They've put so much effort into doing this work.
Now, the other thing is too, so you're with the ladies, because most of them are going to be ladies in their quilters and stitchers, and then you went to Ben's Shed.
I went to it used to be Ben's Shed. It's a men's shed now, yep, that's right. Yep. And I did say to the ladies when they were drawing the raffle, I said, oh, gosh, you know, I need to be at the men's shed and they'll get cranky. And they said, oh, well, yeah, they're just a grumpy old. So, of course, I had to go over and
poor old
pass, pass that on. And somebody said, I resemble that remark. But, you know, they hosted me for a bit more of afternoon tea, so I was quite cup of tea and caked out that day. But, again, you know, it's an opportunity for people to get together and to talk, yep, and in a different environment. And sometimes, you know, they've got, well, they've got a lot of gear there that they don't, people don't have at their homes.
Yep.
But they do a lot of programs with schools.
Yep. And there's I've interviewed two or three men's sheds, and they pass their knowledge on to younger people. One of them I know graduated a little while ago, and he's gone on to do an apprenticeship. So, but, it also gets the guys together, doesn't it? And we need to be connected with other people.
That's right. Like, while the women are yapping while they're doing their quilting, the men, yep, are talking while, you know, they'll have their, I think it was Wednesday, they have a lunch, and so people, yep, tend to come along more on there. But, you know, it's a place to go. It's a safe place. It should be a safe place, yep, for people to go and meet other people. And, you know, if you're making something for an organisation or you've got a school group in there, yep, and it's pretty good. I think they only take 8 kids at a time.
Do
so
they?
It's not, yep, like there's 30 kids running amok.
Yep.
Very, very ordered. And they've got a big long table with 4 spots at each, in 4 vices actually, you know, yep, so it shows you where the spots are, each side of the table. So, you know, they're in one area, they're not moving around, yep, a lot. And so they keep them really organised, well-disciplined, and teach them something. And I think when you've got 8 kids, it's really manageable. And yep, I really like that idea. They do a lot of local schools.
And the other thing is too that even if these young people don't go on to be an apprentice, now, we all have to do our jobs around the house down the,
yes,
track.
Yes, and
somewhere,
perhaps my partner could have done a little bit more of that when he was at school.
On the strength of that, I'm going to take a break before we get into trouble. Now, Cindy, I know every, well, apart from politics is one big debate, but I know you have a debate every year, and I'm always keen to find out, first of all, what it's about, who's your MC, because I, with a whole lot of pollies, I pity their poor job, but also what the topic is this year.
Well, thanks, Alan, because the federal government... Well, federal parliament always have their midwinter ball and it's a fundraiser. Yep. And, you know, we thought in Victoria, well, what can we do? And I'm part of the Parliamentary Lions Club and I think I've mentioned that before. So, you know, we've always got to raise money. That's one of your things to do. And one of my colleagues said, well, what about if, you know, we have this debate between the politicians and the media? And so we've had a few and we've got another one this year. And it is a bit challenging. We've had Sammy J has been the speaker, the adjudicator for the last couple of years, but he was unavailable this year. I think he's doing a tour for his comedy festival. Oh, and we were like, oh, my gosh, because he wrote a song one year, like he got right.
He's really good.
Yeah, he's really good, got right into it. But anyway, he dobbed in one of his mates, and we've got Limo. We've got Limo doing it this year. So Anthony Lehman, Limo, is doing the great debate. So we're pretty excited about that because Limo's pretty funny.
I've seen him. He's really good.
Yeah.
So what's the topic?
The media works harder than politicians. And so, but we always do it around the other way.
I was going to say that, but you won't be representing the politicians, will you?
No, we'll be saying the media works, absolutely the media works harder. And they'll be going, no, the politicians work harder. So it is a lot of fun. Now, the tickets, you know, if you're a Lions Club member, it's $100. But if you are somebody else wanting to go, it's $120. And this is fundraising, not for our election campaigns or anything like that. This is fundraising for the Lions Club. And this year we're doing the assistance dogs. Previously, we've done the skin cancer van. Yep. Last year we did Need for Feed. So, the Lions Club have projects that they want, you know, from time to time. So, you know, you can head in there from 5:30 into
Parliament.
At State Parliament. Yep. And it's actually in the chamber. So you sit in the lower house chamber and the people doing the debate are sitting at the table and Limo will sit in the speaker's chair and rule it. So like it is really good fun.
Do you know who's speaking on behalf of
the
police?
We do, because you have to nominate who's going to speak, and that's trying to, everyone thinks they're the funniest person.
Yep.
There's a couple of genuinely funny people. David Hodgett, who's the member for Croydon.
Right.
He's always really funny, but he spoke last year. So we have Colin Brooks, one of the ministers, who was a former speaker.
Right.
Nicole Werner, who is the member for Warrandyte. Nicole's got some very, very funny social media going around. And Annabelle Cleland, who is the member for Euroa, the politician. She's a National, so we've got a Labor, a Liberal and a Nationals. Yep. And Sharnel Vella. So Sharnel has on 774 with Bob Murphy in the morning.
Yep.
She used to be, I think, with Channel 7.
Yep.
She's on maternity leave. I think she's still on maternity leave, but anyway.
Is she going to come along? Yep.
Yeah, she's going to come along. We've got Chip LeGrand. I don't know if you know Chip. He's a print...
Print journalist,
yeah. Yep. Chip covers politics. So they've got to be, when we're doing this, you know, you have to have people who know a little bit about politics and the game of what's going on. Because I think last year we had Tom Elliott and Raph Epstein, who both have the clashing...
Yeah, morning shows.
Morning shows. So they were on the same team.
And I suppose you also want... I mean, if you want people to come along, you've got to also have entertaining people too, don't you?
That's right. You know, they've got to... And they've got to do some homework. So we've got Sharnel, we've got Chip from the print media, and Jessica Maggio, who is with Channel 10.
So,
you know, a bit of a mix.
Yep.
Seems to be dominated a lot more by women this day. We all went, oh, well, fancy that. There's more women than men. But, you know, to make this possible, we need sponsors as well.
Yep.
And so the Australian Hotels Association come on board. Maurice Blackburn Lawyers come on board. Yep. And Hawker Britain, who do government relations, they've come on board. And they help pay for the cost of this because, you know, we have, you know, for $120, you get more than just your entertainment. There is, you know, food and drinks and nibbles and drinks available as well in the Great Hall.
And what's it, what was the date of that, please, Cindy?
Thursday, the 18th of June. We've just got the posters now, so I'm just going to duck into the Lions op shop next door to see if they'll stick one up in there.
And I know they're listening now, so don't go home.
Yeah, don't go home. I'm going to duck in a moment.
So how do people get tickets, please, Cindy?
They can scan the QR code.
Well, that's a bit hard.
No, I'm going to promote it on my Facebook page.
Right, so they go to your Facebook page.
Yeah, it's not up yet, but it should be up tomorrow.
Yep.
But we've just got all of this done. So Thursday, the 18th of June, you know, I'll advertise it and we'll send out through the Lions clubs locally as well. It's a 6:30 sharp start. You've got to be seated by 6:15 and you can head into Parliament, you know, from 5:30, 6 o'clock. But we have you in and then there's not a rush to push you out after.
I was going to say, what time do you expect it to finish?
Oh, look, it's normally wrapped up by 8:30, I think.
Oh, yeah.
What's important to notice that all of the speakers from the MP side are all lower house MPs because on Thursday we finish, we're done by 5:30.
Oh, yeah.
Typically. And with something like this, we will be.
You're going to have to make sure.
The upper house... are not. They're not often not finished.
They can go very late, can't they?
Yes, they can go very late. One year we had one of the members, one of the ministers who was going to be speaking as well, and we had to time it so that there were no divisions called while that was happening so Harriet could do her bit.
And we should mention, I mean, all these service clubs, and we're talking about Lions, they don't get paid and none of the money will go towards... as you just said, overheads. That's why you've got the sponsors. We need to reiterate that Lions and Rotary and all these clubs, or if they're raising money for a project, that project gets the money.
That's right. And, you know, it's costs a little bit of money to run an event in Parliament House, and we have to have it on Parliament sitting nights because otherwise we'd have to pay for all security to come in on it if Parliament wasn't sitting.
There'd be no money
in it then. At least the upper house is still running, so the security is still there. So we kind of save a bit of money, and we have to try and do a deal with the speaker to say, look, can you give us this at cost rather than at the regular price, which can be quite hefty.
We'll take one more quick break and then we're going to come back with more. welcome back, and we're talking to Cindy McLeish. We've got another 3 or 4 minutes. Cindy, you wanted to talk about the Alpine Hotel. I believe I think they might have an award.
They did. I mentioned the AHA, the Australian Hotels Association, just a moment ago, because they are sponsoring the Great Debate. Yep. But they have their awards. And the Alpine Hotel in Warburton won the Best Casual Dining. Now, this is a little bit controversial. Metro.
Well.
But that means it's up against a tougher crowd, you know, so.
Yep. Well, it's terrific. Where was the Ring of Steel with COVID? That was at Warburton, but was
no,
it?
No, it was much further on. It was, I think, around Coldstream. Oh, no, hang on. Yeah. No, Coldstream, you can't come up the. No, it must have been before then. It must have been because you couldn't have got through. So I can't remember exactly. Yarra Ranges was in Metro.
Right. Anyway, I mean, they obviously came up against a lot more too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And Rachel and Anthony, who have the Warburton Hotel, have done a really marvellous job in refurbishing it. It looks great. They've got a little atrium area that just is so bright. The light's terrific. They've got a couple of special, one of the old rooms that was getting a bit dingy, they've turned it into, you know, with an open fireplace, a really gorgeous little spot there for people to have, you know, good dining. It's good food. Terrific. I stayed there the night before Anzac Day. I was doing Anzac Day in Millgrove. And I
had to be there early.
Had to be there early, so I stayed the night. And, you know, the hotel itself had a lot of really things that I really liked. It had leaf tea, Yarra Valley leaf tea.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So you had the little kitchenettes because it's an old hotel, you know, with shared bathrooms in instances, but also some rooms have, you know, I had, right. There was a shower in my room.
Yep.
But they had War Botanicals, and War Botanicals is a local brand that started up at the Yarra Ranges Enterprise Centre, Wyrec, down at Warby. So, you know, they had little really great local things and a fabulous refurbishment, and they've got great staff. A couple of times I've been there, the staff have been terrific and really helpful, and that all helps bring about, you know, a great experience, and they've got good food. So I was really pleased they went to a big shebang. I think it was in at Crown, and they took a number of staff in there as well. And I was out there the other day with Aaron Violi. Actually, we were chatting to some of the staff, and they were really stoked
to
take out this award. So, I was really, really pleased with that as well.
Yep.
Now, one of the other things I wanted to mention about is the AHA. Yeah. They're getting a little bit quirky how they're doing things.
Right.
And recently they had well, at St. Pat's Day, they sent all of the MPs a can of Guinness. And, yeah, it's not my favourite drink. And a glass with a harp on it for the Guinness brand.
Oh, yeah.
And recently, you know, something else popped up in my office, and we're thinking, who's done internet shopping here? And it was, again, it was a can of beer because they were promoting a program that they had through their hotels where they were encouraging members of parliament to go down and pour a beer.
Oh, yeah.
And a dollar of the beer was going to particular cause. And I went down to the Yarra Glen Hotel there and poured a beer and had a laugh with a couple of the locals that were having a drink there and, got right behind it. But the AHA are really doing a lot to promote a positive brand.
And in some of these areas, the pub has been, for a long while, a big part of the community, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Cindy, I've got to go. The news is there. Thank you for your time. We look forward to talking to you next month. We'll be talking half the year will be gone.
Gosh.